Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's pray. Father, that may be a sign you want us to come out of the darkness into your marvelous light today. Hallelujah. And Lord, we do that through worship, we do it through baptisms, and we do it through the Word of God. And so, Lord, we ask that you be with this Word and bring it forth with all the dynamic power your Word has behind it, God, because your Word is not just some book. It is a living, breathing testimony of our King and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we come to it today, it is not ordinary. It is always extraordinary. It is not natural. It is always supernatural when we receive it by the Spirit. So, Father, let your Spirit come and have its way. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, everybody knows, I think, in December, we're getting geared up for Christmas and the Christmas production, and it's the season of giving and blessing people, and right along with that, we want to be the givingest people around, amen? We want to give of ourselves in this season to other peoples and meet other needs, and we don't want to be one of them, hey, give me, give me, give me. We want to be, how can I help you, how can I bless you, amen? Because Jesus Christ declared himself this about himself. He says, I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but I came to serve. How many know that's a good model? Touch your neighbor and say, that's a good model. And so I believe that, and the last thing that we have here, the four things we want to see happen in your life, we want you to know the real God. We want you to live a life of freedom. We want you to discover your purpose. But we want all that to lead to where your life makes a difference in someone else's life. Amen? And that's when we call the eternal wind. Now, again, we're having some electrical problems, but that's okay. The Word of God don't need electronics. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So just deal with it. But as we look into these things and we understand that our life is not about us. Our life is about who and what God wants us to affect while we're here. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Amen. And so this morning, Jesus showed us exactly how to see people, to touch people, to reach people. So go ahead and put up the first note today. Everybody say outreach. Which we're fixing to do one of our largest outreach of the whole year this Saturday. Outreach is not a church program. This is not a church program we have here. It's a position of the heart of this church. Yeah. Our heart is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. By any means necessary, just short of sinning ourselves. Amen. Amen? That's why I don't mind using things of the world to show the world who Jesus Christ is. Although I will not participate and do that, how many know if I can dress up and lead somebody to Christ because they should come to see that? Let's lead them to Christ. Yeah. Paul says, I become all things to all people, what? That I may reach out and win some. Yeah. Are you okay this morning? So let's reach, everybody say, reach out like Jesus. Yeah. I only have four verses for you this morning found in the book of Matthew. Chapter 9, verses 35 through verses 38, and we're going to take them verse by verse. And in the first verse of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, everybody say, then Jesus went. What did Jesus do? He went. Jesus went across the cities and the villages. What did he do? So Jesus went and he did what? He taught, teaching in the synagogues. Where did he teach at? What's the synagogue of today's time? The church. Is the church still relevant? Absolutely. He taught in the synagogues. What did he do in the synagogues? He preached what? The gospel of what? Look at the word. It's what we heavily depend on here and what we believe in, which is the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus taught and then he preached the kingdom of God. You see that in your Bible. And then what did he do? He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, that's pretty good. Go ahead and put up the next note now. Outreach, everybody say outreach. It's not a church program. Again, it's a position of the heart. Put up the next one. Let's look at Jesus' method. Everybody say Jesus had a method here. And in this first verse is the outline of what Jesus Christ himself did. And if you notice in the first one, it said Jesus did what? Jesus went. Everybody say Jesus went. So Jesus went. In other words, he had movement. And how many know a lot of times the church prays, Lord, we want a move of God. The movement of God is not something coming out of the mystic air. The movement of God is in you and me. And it is when we do what Jesus does and we get up and we go. Come on now. That's when you know you're in a movement of God, is you are moving. Touch your neighbor and say, get the moving. Amen? In other words, Jesus didn't stay trapped in his little church world. He got outside and met the world where they're at. Somebody say, imagine that. Do you know he was even accused of sitting and having dinner with sinners? Come on. Releasing a prostitute from a death sentence. Healing an impure woman by the touch of his garment. Why? Because he was out from the synagogue in the church, and he went out and he done what was supposed to be done. Now, don't take me wrong. He was in church every time the doors were open. Every time the doors was open. Every time the doors was open. Well, we don't like this preaching in here this morning, but I'm going to preach it anyway. So what was the second thing Jesus done? He taught the truth. You remember? He went and he went into the church and he taught. Everybody say he taught. So he taught the word. Now, and then we go to the next one. He proclaimed hope through the kingdom of God. So what's the difference? And sometimes when you read that, okay, he went in and he taught the word, and then it said, but he preached the gospel of the kingdom. So what's that about? Well, you got to understand something. At that time, they did not have the New Testament. All they had was the Torah and the Old Testament. And not all of it was complete at that time. So they had at least the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And a lot of it came out of that teaching, okay? And they had some of the prophets' writings at that time, and Isaiah's prophecies was already written because Jesus got up and prophesied that and said, I just fulfilled it too. I'm here to fulfill that. Okay? So he would teach from the scriptures that they had available, saying, okay, here's what the kingdom of God were. But he says, here's the new coming. That's when he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because as of that point, there was no gospel of the kingdom. There was just the gospel of the Old Testament without a Messiah alive on earth. So he would go in and he would do the traditional service. Come on. And then he stepped out and he began to preach the gospel of a kingdom coming to and through him. And to everyone. Don't get excited. That's you too. So make sure you understand what's going on there. The difference between the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. That's why he had to do that. Okay? And then he proclaimed a hope to them. Okay? And then the next thing he done after he finished telling them about the kingdom. Service is over. Now let's go heal people. And I'm not just talking physical. I'm talking mental, emotional, marital, financial. He said, let's go out and meet people where they're at and touch their lives with this gospel of the kingdom. This old stuff kind of put them in bondage. This new stuff's going to release them. Hallelujah. Don't get excited this morning, whatever you do. Touch your neighbor and say, our calling's the exact same. There's no different calling upon Jesus' life as there is your and our life now that we have the glorious New Testament. Amen? We understand that Jesus was and is and taught the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God was within him. I took you through that a few months ago, eight or nine weeks of that. You ought to know it by now. But we're to go too. What are we supposed to do? Movement. We're supposed to move. Now, this church is not going to be hopefully filled up two productions this Saturday just simply because we're going to build some stuff today. We got to get out there and say, hey, you want to come to something to change your life? Come on. You want to come to something your kids will enjoy? Come on. Amen? So it takes us going. And we got to go, because if we don't go, nobody's coming in here. The second thing is we got to teach the truth. We got to teach the truth from Genesis to maps. And inside the maps is the kingdom of God. And you will hear a lot about the kingdom of God at this church. Why? Because it was the gospel that Jesus Christ himself preached. Amen. And again, I've said this many times now. Everybody's about, oh, preach the gospel of Jesus. You got to preach the gospel of Jesus, yet few people preach the gospel that Jesus Christ himself preached. Because Jesus is, again, now you go back and listen to just the first one, just the book of Matthew. I think it was 30 to 40 references on the kingdom of God coming out of Jesus' mouth. That was and is his message still today. It's a kingdom. Anyway, I ain't got time to re-preach that. But how many know we're supposed to not just open the doors and hope our community comes in? We're supposed to go out there and compel them to come in, the word says. It says, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, again, to the sanctuary that his house can be filled. Good preaching, amen. So what do? We go to our community. We go into the schools. We go into the stores. We go into the colleges. We go anywhere people are at, and we're at, we go to our job. With what? The gospel, the truth. Come on. Don't look at me that way in that tone of voice. We go to the hurting just like Jesus did. We go to the overlooked people. Come on. I mean, a lot of people feel, that's what they feel, that I'm just overlooked. And you know, you can be in church and be overlooked. It happens all the time. Shame on the church. Amen? But let me just tell you about the overlooked people and that guilt trip you get on sometimes. Well, I'm overlooked. Well, who have you looked out to? That is a two-way street. And then you have also the attitude of the developer. Well, I've reached out and not overlooked about 10 people, but nobody's come to me. Well, maybe you need 10 more. See, there again, we go to pulling in and making it internally just about me. Again, that's that narcissistic Christianity religion stuff, okay? But we're to go to people, listen to me now, who may not ever walk through these doors to attend a Sunday morning service. That's why we do the production. The people that won't come to a regular Sunday service will come in here to watch a horse be ridden in on. They will. They won't come to regular church because they've got a bad taste in their mouth about regular church from somewhere. But they'll come to things. That's why life groups are so important. Do you know how many people we have actually had either come here or go to their home church or get back to Christ because we have life groups outside these walls? And they go to a place and they get around a bunch of other crazy people who's not cussing, drinking, and hitting on their spouse and trying to do all this other stuff the world does, have a good time, have prayer, and there's something different and it draws them back in. But they never would have come to church to get that. That's why life groups are so important, because they give life away. Can I have a better amen? Small plug for life groups there. Okay. All right, everybody say, let's move on. Now, the next verse we're going to break down into two parts because it's just that important. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. The first part of it says, but when he saw who? He saw the multitudes. Now listen to me now. That sounds so just simple. He saw the multitudes. But do you know how much depth there is in that? He saw them. He paid attention to his surroundings. He was looking for the moments. And the moments are all around him, and the moments are all around you and me. If we just take the time to acknowledge it and see it. In other words, Jesus was aware of people everywhere he went. And we're around a whole lot more people most of the time than even Jesus was. And it's like we're not aware of nothing but us. Amen. But see, any kind of outreach you're going to do, you can call it outreach, you can call it ministry, I don't care what you call it. I'm just using the word outreach today. It's got to start with vision. You got to be able to see it for what it is. And I'm going to be preaching on myself here in just very soonly. And I don't like it, then I'm going to have to deal with it, okay? Amen? But how many know people are longing for someone just to see them? Just see me. Just acknowledge my presence. I'm that way in restaurants now. Ask my wife. The older I get, the less patient I become in certain areas. But you walk into a restaurant, and you stand, and you stand, and you stand, and they look at you, and they just walk by you, and you stand, and you stand, and they just walk by. I'm like, listen, if you would just say, hey, glad you came, we're understaffed right now, it may be a little while, I'll sit and wait forever most of the time. But you walk by me 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times and don't even act like I'm in the room, not that I'm all that in a bag of chips, but there's other places that will. So I go in there and I look at my watch when I walk in the door and I'm like, okay, let's see. And I got a certain amount of time, I'm going to stand and wait to see if anybody even says good morning or good evening or hey, we'll see y'all just as soon as we... just something to let me know what's going on. The house of God needs to be better than that. Every person who walks through those doors, either if nobody greets you, you ought to walk up and say, hey, good morning, I'm here. Glad to see you here too. Good to see you. You're looking good this morning. Got your hair like you like it. Amen? Amen? But here's the thing about it. If you don't do this stuff on purpose, it doesn't get done on purpose. And we are people of purpose. Or we're supposed to be anyway, but you can't be on purpose of your assignment when you're so caught up in yourself. Well, so what did Jesus see? Jesus looked at the people mostly who were overwhelmed with life. We should be looking at them too. Jesus was looking for the people who were searching for the next thing in their life to try to bring them some satisfaction. We ought to be searching for those people that are searching. Of course, he went to the hurting. He went to the spiritually lost as well. And he fed the hungry, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. Amen? Amen. Now I want to put up a hard truth. But go ahead and put it up, the next note. We're so busy that we stop noticing the brokenness around us. And what season are we in? This is also known as the Christmas season, the holiday season, but it's also known as the busiest season of the year. Because you're always on the go, you're shopping, you got to go get this ready, you got to go to family here, you got to go to this event, this party, this Christmas party, the work party, the church thing, and we get so busy, and we walk by so many needs that just a kind word would just make their day. Just acknowledging them and seeing them. And maybe just saying this, and we went to a conference this past week down at in Birmingham with Dr. John Maxwell and Pastor Hodges, and great leadership stuff. And one guy said, he said, we typically go by somebody and say, how you doing? Good. Now watch this. No, really, how are you doing?
How much time do you
have? There you go. How much time do I have now? We do that passing by, how you doing? And the default answer is, two default answers, I'm good, or man, I'm just tired and wore out. But sometimes they need that second, no, look at me, really. Really, how are you doing? Well, I just got this report. And right now our family's struggling here. And this looks like it could be happening in our family. And you may not have the answer, but you know what you can do? You can say, man, I hate to hear that. Let me pray for you. Father, I ask you, bless them. I ask you, just show yourself mighty to them right now, especially in this time of season. Let them know they're not forgotten, God. And I ask you, just bless them in the name of Jesus. You would be amazed. The rest of their day, whoever they encounter, you're going to be talked about. They're going to tell everybody they know, listen, I don't even know who this stranger was. Walked up to me in Walmart in the line, asked me, good evening, how you doing today? And then they asked me a second time. And then they prayed for me. It's amazing how little it takes to make such a big impact. It's quiet in here. So Jesus went to those people. I mean, oh, you and I should be too. So there's a prayer I want you to start praying. Lord, just open my eyes to see who you put in front of me as I go out my day. That's a simple little prayer. Lord, would you open my eyes to see who you put me around every day? Because some of them may be there to encourage you, and you need to see that. But you should look at it for what you can do to encourage. Amen? Touch your neighbor and ask them if they're all right. So now that the first part of that says, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitude, now let's finish it up. Look at the B part of Matthew 9:36. It says, he, Jesus, was what? Moved with what? Compassion for them, for who he saw. When he saw people had a need, he had a compassion for their need, which means he had a compassion for them. Even on the cross, he saw the need of a people that needed to be forgiven for the sin against God. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He had compassion on the people that killed him. He's a better God than any person I know. Better than me. And we're not gods, amen. We're made in God's image, but we're not gods. But hey, how do you know if my murderer was there, I'd probably kill him. Just saying. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Let me say it again. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Now, let me tell you this right here. Every pastor needs a pastor. And I'm blessed to have about four in my life. Nobody's called to do this stuff alone. We all need accountability and submission too. Because that's compassionate. Can I have a better word? So Jesus felt compassion, which means what? Jesus had a heart. He had a heart for people of all walks, of all kinds, of all smells. But anywhere they've been and whatever they've done, he had a heart for them. I always tell people, you'll never look into the eyes of someone that Jesus Christ did not die for. Amen. Amen? So let's look at the word compassion out of the Greek. And look at that big, long Greek word. Starts with an S and ends with an eh. And I ain't even going to try to pronounce what's in between. I think it's actually about five syllables in that. My computer can pronounce it, but I just totally wreck it. But anyway, it means to feel deeply. It means to have a yearning. It means to have compassion. Now watch this. It indicates an inward feeling, and it is frequently recorded of Christ's attitude toward multitudes and individuals. So when you begin to have compassion, know that that is something that God has, that Jesus Christ himself displayed while he's on earth as a human. So you and I have to have compassion for our worst enemies. Now, it doesn't mean we get a spirit of stupid and go let them kill us. Amen? And the people who are blatantly involved in disgusting sin, I can't stand the sin, but I have a compassion for them if they will come to Christ. Many of them won't. But none of them ever will if we don't at least offer compassion like Jesus had it. Real compassion. I've never seen real compassion be real without some kind of action behind it. It's kind of like in the Bible where it says you can't just walk by a starving family and go, hey, guys, see you starving. Hope you get something to eat. Praying for you. And walk off. Compassion says, hey, I see you're hungry. Here, let me go get you some food. Let me take some of my time and go actually get you a meal and feed you. And while I'm feeding you, I'm going to tell you about my Jesus. And if you can't stay long enough to hear about my Jesus, you ain't that hungry. Again, we're not suckers. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Amen. So one of the questions I think we have to ask ourselves today is, what breaks the heart of God? And if it breaks God's heart, should it break my heart? And the answer is yes. Let me tell you something that breaks God's heart is anyone who's lost without Jesus Christ. People are walking around lost, going to hell, and some of them will never get the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them, and they will die in their sins. And they will face an eternity away from God, going into hell. And it breaks his heart. And it's not over in some third world country. It's right here in our neighborhood. People's never heard the gospel. With all the churches around and all the stuff we do, and they can walk among us and have never understood or heard about the love of Jesus Christ, that he actually loves them. Nobody's ever took the time. I love you guys, and we got a good church here, and we're doing some of it, but we need to do it all. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the question that I have to deal with myself. I told you, I preach what God tells me, even if I don't like it. And this question is, when I look at people, do I feel annoyed by some of them? Yes! Any among us without sin, let him cast the first stone. Do I feel annoyed? Or do I feel moved? And the answer is I feel annoyed with a lot of people. Because they're annoying. They're annoying. Now the patience I'm losing as I get older in life, I'm just losing patience with stupid. I used to ask this question, how stupid can you get? But I'm going to stop saying that because some people's taking it as a challenge. You think that's stupid? Watch this. The police officer walks up and does this. Okay, enough's enough. You're under arrest. I ain't under arrest. No, I'm not. I'm not. You're under arrest. Those people annoy me. But then you look at their life, and most of the time they're in that condition because alcohol is involved or drugs. And they're not thinking in their right mind. And although they're belligerent and going against and not submitting to authority, and they deserve and they do go to jail every time. Part of me goes, what's the root? Why are they having to turn to alcohol and drugs? What did they grow up in that's made them turn out like they are? And you know, some of them grew up in split families, but do you know some of them grew up in great Christian homes? Great Christian homes. But you got to continue to pray for them. Put them in jail and pray for them. Put them in jail and pray for them. Again, we're not called to be stupid. I love y'all. So real quickly, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Two more verses. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, now here's what the scripture everybody knows, but you didn't know this context was around it. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. Now these are the words of Jesus declaring this, and if Jesus declares it, this is a truth. The whole word of God's true, amen? Now Jesus isn't saying, hey, the world shut up to the gospel. Jesus is not declaring that here. What he's declaring is that the Christians are not doing the mission. The world is not closed to the gospel by far. The problem is we as the church are not fulfilling the mission. Go ye therefore into all the world. Well, why are y'all so quiet this morning? So we have to ask ourselves, why is there a shortage of Christians who are enjoying their salvation, who love going to church and singing and participating and pulling this thing? What's the problem? And there's about four different viable, they're not viable, they're excuses, but they're not going to stand up on judgment day. And let me give you some of them, and they're real. The very first one is, for some reason, Christians are afraid. They're afraid to walk in their faith out loud in front of everybody else. And it either comes from one place, it comes from the other one, which is, we're so comfortable behind the scenes, just on Sunday morning, we get our little fix. It's either that or we're ashamed of who we are. That the world has set a standard and we don't live up to that standard and we don't bow down to that standard. And if we stand against it, we're going to be ostracized. So we kind of act ashamed and fearful. It's quiet as a mouse now. And then the third thing, and I preached a little bit on this last week or the week before, we're just too busy to fool with them. We're just too busy. I mean, I got to go here. I got to be here. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to have this ready. I got to do this. I got to work. I got this. I got this appointment, this schedule, this phone conference. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just too busy for all y'all. You remember what busy means? Being under Satan's yoke. And then this last one is really churchy. We think somebody else needs to do it. That's not my job. It's not my job. It's the leader's job. Well, if you're a disciple of Christ, you are a disciple. It's your job. You don't get saved without getting this portion of the job. And you do know you'll stand before God and give an account of your life on the earth. And one of the first things he's going to ask is, what all did you do with my son Jesus? What all did you do with him? What'd you do with Jesus? I don't see him nowhere in your life. I don't see as a reflection of you that my kingdom gained anything other than somebody griping and causing dissension among the brethren. That was free though, because he doesn't. But somebody needs to do it, yes, just not me. Lord, would you send somebody to reach these lost people? Would you send somebody to feed the hungry? Would you send somebody to do the production, God? Would you send somebody to grow the church, God? But just don't ask me to do it. Just don't ask me. Because, Lord, I'm too busy. I'm going to try to end on a high note. Outreach is just... it's not up to just the ministry leaders of a church or an organization. It's every single born-again believer's lifestyle. It's supposed to be your lifestyle. And if everybody does their part, then nobody's overworked. Better amen there. So let's get to the last words of Jesus Christ speaking. Now, he just got through telling us the harvest is great, the laborers are few. And then he finishes up in verse 38 and he says this. Here's what I want you to do. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, because he's the Lord of the harvest, you and I are not. It's his harvest, we're the workers. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And again, I just demonstrated how you most people pray. Lord, send anybody but me. I'm just too shy, Lord. You know I'm an introvert. We'll get around another introvert and y'all talk. You're uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable. Jesus will mediate that. You're an extrovert, do your thing. Without scaring them, okay? But notice here, Jesus says, pray for laborers into his harvest. But Jesus said to pray first. And I think that's the key. I think if we pray before we try to go and follow the biblical model here, what Jesus says, pray, and then I'll send you. So what should we pray for? Lord, give me the boldness to conquer my fear. I think that's a good one. Lord, I pray for the opportunities throughout my day that you would put an awareness in me that I see like Jesus sees. Lord, I pray for what I call divine appointments, to where I know that it's time for you to do something through me with somebody else. Give me some divine appointments today, God. But only pray that if you're willing to answer your prayer and say, here I am, send me. Whom shall I send? And they cried out, here I am, Lord, send me. Outreach is not just a program. It's not a program. It's never been a program. It's a condition of the church's heart. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Now let me make sure, I'm going to try to end you on a good note here. The last note, this ought to help a lot of us. It helped me. God doesn't need my perfection. He needs my availability. Right. Ooh, you know how much that makes me feel good? That means there's room for error. There's room for error. Man, I have laid hands on people and prayed and blessed the devil in their life. By accident. And I'm trying to say, Lord, get the devil out of their life. And I'm trying to say, praise God at the same time. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you for the devil in their life. Lord, I thank you the devil is defeated in their life. I've done that. God knows my heart. And they chuckled and laughed, and so did I. And at the end of it, I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. They're like, it's okay. And I've done that more than once. Now, not a whole lot in here lately in the last several years. But when I first started trying out, of course the devil's going to try to trip you up. Because you're not perfect. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
That you're not perfect? Now, I know your mom and dad probably told you that, but you're not. You're not an angel either. Not yet, anyway. We all have imperfections. Thank God, God already looked down and knew we were not perfect, but says, I'll work with that willing heart. I'll work with that willing heart. I'll work with that devotion. I'll work with that faith. I'll work with that commitment. I'll work with that submission. I'll work with that obedience. That's all it takes to be used by the Lord. That's all it takes. You are not going to be perfect in anything you ever do for the Lord. I've never been perfect, but I do have a perfect God. Hallelujah. And he is just looking for his ability with someone's availability. Bam. And then your life will make a difference like you never even dreamed it could. It's amazing what you can do when you just pay a little bit of attention to what Jesus did and then say, I'm in his image. So this week, everybody say this week. And I was going to start this thing off by saying, just look for one person this week to make a difference in their life. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, what do you mean, one a week? So I bumped it to one a day. Because every day you're probably going to have contact with at least one or two people. And it doesn't matter if you've got a familiar spirit with them and you know them, just bless them. Send them a text. Hey, just want you to know, thought about you today and praying for you. That's all you got to do. Wow, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Praying for you too. They may not put nothing. Who cares? Your reward is from God. Don't get caught up in whether man appreciates you or not. Now, should we? Yes, it's all about. But that's the secondary thanks. God saw it. That's all that matters. Can I have a better amen? So what do you look to do? You look to text maybe somebody. You look to encourage them. You look to pray for somebody. You look to invite somebody either back to their church or here or somewhere where they're local. Are you serving? One of the things I've been talking to people, they're like, if I find out, now, do you go to church anywhere? Yeah, I go to First Side over here. I say, where do you serve? They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, where do you serve? You don't, and I do it to pretense. I'm like, you don't just go sit, do you? Well, we ain't been there that long. How long you been there? About 9 years. But you ain't serving? And then I say, oh, listen, I love you, but you're not called just to go sit. There's something the king wants you to do for his glory. There's something that you've got a gift inside that church that can be used to draw people. So invite them. And then see how you can serve somebody this week. Buy their meal. Send them a heartfelt text. Go over to their house. Sit with them or something maybe. Invite them to come join whatever you've been doing. They've probably been wanting to be invited. I don't know. Just something. Do something for somebody. Pay it forward at the gas pumps. Pay it forward at the drive-thru. That's one of my favorites. I love that. Melissa got it one day from me. At Arby's in Coleman. And there's your order here, and you drive all the way around. And I love that because you don't know who it is. But I handed the card out, our random act of kindness card, and I said, I want to buy the meal behind me. And they said, okay. I said, just hand them the card, tell them Jesus loves them. I drove off. I got almost to 157 in the interstate. My phone rang. It was Melissa. I thought, well, she's wanting something from the church. Hey, she said, hey, thanks for lunch. I said, do what? Thanks for lunch. She said, I guess I was behind you at Arby's. Now, this has been several years ago. And I'm like, well, hey, God knows what he's doing. And I think she said, and by the way, I paid that forward behind me. So anyway, but again, little things you can do to be Jesus. Amen. Look for somebody you can listen to. Because people just need to be heard sometimes what they're going through. Just listen. You don't have to have all the answers. And when you don't have all the answers, what you do is to say, I'll tell you what, let's just ask God to touch you in this, because I can't relate to what you're going through. I've never been through that myself, but I know God has. So Lord, would you just meet their need where they're at right now, Lord, and just show yourself mighty to them. You ain't got to pray no more than that. Lord, I love them, and I ask you to show yourself mighty in this situation to them. In Jesus' name, amen. They're going to think highly of you. Amen. Maybe if you've got time, someone to share your story with, but don't bore them to death. Don't go into every little detail. Just say, I know what you're going through. I went through this same thing, and here's how God got me through. When giving your testimony, only give the devil about that much praise and God the rest. Typical Christianity talks all about what the devil, how they destroyed, how horrible it's been. But maybe Jesus will help me. Reverse that curse. I understand what you're going through. I had the same situation. But here's what God did for me. Here's how he brought me out. And here's where I'm at today. I haven't arrived, but I'm way past where I used to be. Now I'm free from that. I went through freedom. Y'all okay? One person a day. See people. Feel the compassion. Move toward them in some manner. Share the hope that's in you. And let me just say, as you're standing up, just be available. Touch your neighbor and say, just be available. And there is no greater or smallers. There is no greater or smallers. I have driven by people and seen them hungry and said, well, wait right here. Go in McDonald's and buy them a Big Mac. Come back out, hand it to them and say, let me pray for you before I go. Father, bless them where they're at. I pray they know you. And I left. That's huge in the kingdom of God. I've gotten a phone call from a person I didn't even know through another person that knew me. He said, hey, will you take a phone call from a buddy of mine? Sure. Pring. Hello? Listen, I know you don't know me, But I'm sitting here with a 500 Smith & Wesson loaded about to blow my brains out. You have exactly 1 minute to talk me out of killing myself. Hey, can I get back with you right quick? Because I was not ready for that phone conversation. But that really happened. I really got that phone call. And I didn't even know the person. And I said, well, let me just tell you something. Suicide is almost the exact perfect answer. And when they went, huh? I said, it tells me that you're tired of living the way you are. I said, but the only thing that suicide does for you is gives you a never another chance to enjoy what God can do for your life. And I said, if you'll give me a few minutes, I promise you your life's worth living no matter how bad Satan's wrecked it. And in about 35, 40 minutes to almost an hour, he had put the gun down and prayed with me and semi-rededicated his life. So it doesn't matter. You know what? The happy meal was as great as the suicide guy. In God's eye, he loves them the same. There's no greater difference. So don't think it has to be something of grandeur where you can get glory. It's the little things that makes the most. Can I have a better amen? So the harvest is ready. The question is, are you? So just bow your heads with me this morning. Before you can reach out and give Jesus away, you can't give something away that you don't possess yourself. So if you're here this morning and you've never had Jesus presented to you, that he loves you and he died for you and he's alive for you right now, and that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, his love for you has always been. And if you'll accept him on his terms and surrender your life to him, he will be more than glad to walk into your life and become your Lord and Savior right here, right now. And the invitation we give you is like this, to meet him. We're not going to ask you to join church today. We're not going to ask you to become some religious being today. We're just going to ask you to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, your King and Savior. We're going to ask you to lay it down and let him have everything about you. And we will tell you without any, no shame, you cannot save yourself. You cannot pay for your own sins, but Jesus has, and he does, and he will. And all you got to do is accept it and begin to study and read and go after him with everything in you. If you're here this morning and you want to get what we call in the church born again or saved and surrender your life to Christ, and you've never done that before, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. I want to give my life to Christ. Anyone in this church? Maybe if you're watching online. How many would say today, God, would you make me more aware? Come on, lift your hands. I'm going to call for a lifting of the hands right now. Lord, would you... Lord, open my eyes and show me what's around me on a daily basis. And let me see the difference I can make in some capacity. I may not be able to do it as good as Billy Graham did or Reinhard Bonnke or whoever over here or Benny Hinn, but Lord, I'll sign up to do what I can do. So Lord, with this many hands raised, if the commitment level is there, God, this whole territory in our community is fixing to be radically shaken. Because revival doesn't start like we think it does. It starts like this right here. It starts with person to person. Encouraging, blessing. Now, let me tell you something about the prayer. I want us to pray this together. Well, let's pray it first, and I'll tell you something about it. Say, Lord, open my eyes and let me see what's around me. And put something in me that lets me know I'm there to make a difference for your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you about that. If that's the way you'll spend your day, now listen to me real closely. You will not have time to be offended. You will not have time for griping or complaining. Do you hear me? You won't have time for any of that. Because your mind and your thoughts are going to be on use me, Lord, to bless people. Yeah. And when you're looking to be a blessing, you're not looking inwardly of what is or what's not happening in your life. Touch your neighbor and say, that's good. Touch your neighbor and say, oh, I'll even help your marriage. Wow. We better pray and get out of here. Everybody say it's Christmas time. And because you're such an awesome church, as you go to leave here today, we have donuts for everybody. Yes. Because y'all sweet. I mean, y'all sweet, and we just want to add to you. Amen. We want to add to your sweetness, and we want to add to your waistline. So let us be. Let us help you. You know, that's a good idea. You don't get one unless you stay in work. No, I'm just kidding. We understand people do have commitments sometimes Sundays after church, and we're not going to hold you hostage much. But anyway, for those that are staying, I think we do have some lunch provided, correct? Okay, we do have some lunch provided for you, so we'll eat as we can, and some want to go right to work, whatever. But how many know that God is awesome? Turn around to three people and give them a high five. Tell them how pretty they are. All right, let's pray. Father, a bunch of good look. Your church is good looking today. They sweet. Sweet. They sweet, Lord. Lord, this is the most joyful place I ever go to throughout my week, is to be with my brothers and sisters in this church, and we're making a difference. We pray towards Saturday right now, God, that all the animals and the technology will all cooperate in the name of Jesus, that there would be no piled up snow or no mushy rain, God. It may be a little chilly, but it's the time of the year. And Lord, we just pray most of all, Lord, that we will be in the mind that we're here to serve and to show Jesus. And Lord, I fully expect people to get saved in the name of Jesus in both productions, that you will touch the hearts. And they think they're coming just for a production, but they're going to come and their life will never, ever be the same. They will be forever changed because they brought their family to this. And that's why we do it, Lord. That's the only reason we do it. It's for your glory, God.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.